Blog Talk Radio. Amen, 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 amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Hope everybody's had a blessed day, that you have gotten the prescribed rest, that you've eaten well from the word of Yah. On this morning, we dealt with a couple of things that the Most High wanted us to deal with concerning our people. And, you know, like the spirit of just being the spirit of horror, the spirits that generational curses and those things. He wanted us to hear from him concerning these things. And we are instructed to study the temple, the millennial temple, the temple that Messiah will have constructed upon his return. But he said for us to study it and to know it. And so we're going to look at some things. We're going to do a lot of reading this evening, okay? And I'm not going to try to do a whole lot of teaching because I want us to go over this in a general overview kind of way so that we can see some things that the Most High is saying to us concerning this temple, all the measurements, you know, of the gates, the walls, and all that stuff. Yes, we will have to get into that, and we will, okay? But I want us to see first what the Most High is desiring of us, that we know as his people, because when he returns, when Messiah returns, he's expecting a people that already know this, that already know how the temple is to be constructed, what the measurements are, what the different rooms are used for, what the traffic flow is supposed to be like. And so we're going to read some things this afternoon. Like I said, I'm not going to so much teach, but we're going to read from the word of God. So I want everybody, before we get started, to open up to the book of Ezekiel. And we're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Ezekiel, because these are things that we must do as his people, which they were his people. We must do this. I want to greet everybody in Power Talk, Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the only name whereby men must be saved. We pray that we are all hungry for the word of Yah. We pray that we are all hungry and thirsty to do his will, to be found righteous before the Most High, to not be doing our own thing, but to be doing what it is that he has instructed and is guiding us to do. Let us start off with our statement of faith. And we will proceed with this evening's portion, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. We glorify you and we lift you up today, Father. We honor you in your day. Hallelujah, Father. We just want to be obedient to you, Father, in all that we do. Father, we just thank you for the gift of salvation and we thank redemption. And we thank you for putting a right spirit and a right mind within us, Father. And so we just thank you right now, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 10,000 praises to you, oh Yah. 10,000 praises to you, Father. For truly you are worthy. There is none like unto our Elohim. Hallelujah. Now the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, and it's turned toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 46 through 53. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built by thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee, for thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, where Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. But the Most High has blessed you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. On this morning, as the Most High, as I said, as he was showing me where we need to go, and what we need to look at, because, you know, like I said, I was not hearing anything, but as I came down the temple, and as I was explaining on this morning, the temple, that this structure, the Most High is going to redo under Mashiach's rule, under the sixth day, the Sabbath. He's going to redo this thing under the seventh day. And we have to understand that the Levitical priesthood is going to be reconstituted. The temple is going to be reconstituted. The animal sacrifices are going to be reconstituted, even the animal sacrifices for sin. So what Israel did not get right, and the Most High destroyed the temple, the Most High, Messiah is going to come, and he's going to reinstitute it. And this is what we're going to read about in Ezekiel. And so we got to understand that this system that the Most High put in place, even the Melchizedek priesthood, has a time and a place and an order. Messiah being after that order, but what I'm seeing is in the last days, the day that Messiah returns, He's actually going, all the things that he put into place, that have been put into place, he's going to perfect them. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, what happens is Satan is loose. Because, you know, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And for 1,000 years, man is going to be up under the rulership of the Most High, up under Mashiach. And at the end of 1,000 years, they're still going to rebel. They're going to rebel. Nevertheless, the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, the Zadok priesthood, is reconstituted. And we're going to read about those things. Like I said, I'm not going to do a whole lot of teaching this afternoon, this evening. What I want to do is read from the Word of Yah. And where there are little places that we need to take note of, I just want to reemphasize them. Because we are instructed to know this as His people. And not just to be generally familiar with it, but to actually know it. And to know what the Most High is, because everything that He gave to Israel, that He, the statutes, laws, and commandments that He put into place, He's reinstituting them. And so we got to see and understand it, because what the world has taught, and what I'm seeing that a lot of people have just gotten wrong, is this millennial reign. And so we're going to take a look at this, because this is what Ezekiel is talking about. So let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 4. And we're only going to get a couple of verses from here. We will come back to Ezekiel 40, 41, 42, because the dimensions of the temple and the rooms and who is supposed to be where, all of that is mentioned in those chapters. But we want to see first what Ezekiel is saying, and we're going to go look and see what the Most High says. Okay? And we're just going to read, so I want you to read along with me in your Bibles. As I said, I'm not going to do a lot of teaching. But some of this stuff I have to go back over and reread and have the Most High, if I don't have a good understanding of having to give it to me. But what He showed me this morning and said to do, we're going to be faithful to that. Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 1 through, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 1 through 4. And in the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day, the hand of Yah was upon me and brought me thither or here. In the visions of Elohim brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain by which was the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed. And he stood in the gate. And he said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee, art thou brought here. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. Now this is, Israel at this time is also scattered. Okay? And he then declared this to the house of Israel. So this is supposed to be told to the entire house of Israel concerning this temple. Because the Most High has had the second temple torn down. Okay? Now let's jump down to Ezekiel 43. Go to Ezekiel 43. We're going to start there. I As I said, we will come back and get 40, 41, and 42 at a different time. Ezekiel chapter 43, starting in verse 1. Afterwards, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the Elohim of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like a voice, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Tigris. And I fell upon my face. And the glory of Yah came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. And so the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of Yah filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house. And the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne. Now understand, this is the Most High speaking now. Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. In their setting of their threshold by my threshold, and their post by my post, the wall between me and them, they have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed. Wherefore I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel. Show this house to the house of Israel. Now, he's telling him to show them the house of the new temple, the house of the Most High, the one that's going to be there in the millennial kingdom. Show the house to the house of Israel that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof to do them. So he's telling him, write this stuff down and tell it to the house of Israel. Okay? That we stop our whoredom, that we stop disobeying, that we stop doing the things that got us kicked out. That got us kicked out of the land. Okay? This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. And these are the measures of the altar after the cubits. Now, when you read chapters 40, 41, 42, you're given the measurements of the walls, the gates, the inner courts, the outer courts, the doors, everything, and what decoration is supposed to be on them, the whole nine yards. Now he's talking about the altar, and the Most High is coming down and telling Ezekiel directly concerning the altar. And he's telling him, this is the law of the house, that we don't break it, that we don't just treat his house any kind of way. He wants us to know this, and we're supposed to study this and meditate on it. Even the structure of it. And these are the measures of the altar after the cubits. The cubit is a cubit and a hand breadth. Even the bottom shall be a cubit, and the breadth a cubit, and the border thereof by the edge thereof round about shall be a span. and this shall be the higher place of the altar. And from the bottom upon the ground, even to the lower step, shall be 2 cubits, and the breadth 1 cubit. And from the lesser settle, even to the greater settle, shall be 4 cubits, and the breadth 1 cubit. So the altar shall be 4 cubits, and from the altar and upward shall be 4 horns. And the altar shall be 12 cubits long, 12 broad, squared in the 4 squares thereof. And the settle shall be 14 cubits long and 14 cubits broad in the 4 squares thereof. And the border about it shall be 1/2 cubit. And the bottom thereof shall be 1 cubit about, and his stairs shall look forward, they shall look toward the east. So this altar and the stairs coming up to the altar are facing to the east. Okay? Now, the Most High comes out of the east. He's always arriving out of the east. And so to come to the altar, of course, the door to the altar must be facing the east. And he said unto me, Son of Man, thus saith Yah Elohim, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day when they shall make it, to offer burnt offerings thereon and to sprinkle blood thereon. Now, again, I say you have to understand that this temple is during the time of Messiah's reign, the third temple. And so we got to understand that what we're about to hear, we're going to hear about animal sacrifice. Okay? Because see, a lot of people didn't think that the animal sacrifice would be reconstituted. Even, you know, and I was shocked myself when I first read it, not today because I've been known this, but known it for a while, but when I first read it, with the understanding that even the sin sacrifice, and that kind of, I have to say, it kind of shook me because I was always believing that Messiah and his death on the cross was forever going to pay for all sin forever. But that's not true. So we got to understand, while we can come, we ought to come. Okay, now, in the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Messiah is what we're reading about in that temple. And so we're reading about that the altar that's going to be rebuilt. Verse 18 again. And he said unto me, Son of Man, thus saith Yah Elohim, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day when they shall make it, to offer burnt offerings thereon and to sprinkle blood thereon. And thou shalt give to the priest the Levites that be of the seed of Zadok. Now you want to underline that name, Zadok, okay? Which approach unto me to minister unto me, saith Yah Elohim, a young bullock for a sin offering. Now, I know this would bother some people. Okay, and this temple has not been built, so we know this is not old. This is not in the old days. Okay, and thou shalt give the priest of Levites to be of the seed of Zadok, which approach unto me to minister unto me, saith Yah Elohim, a young bullock for a sin offering. And thou shalt take of the blood thereof and put it on the 4 horns of it, and on the 4 corners of the settle, and upon the border around about it. Thou shalt cleanse and purge it. Thou shalt take the bullock also of the sin offering, and he shall burn it in the appointed place of the house, without or outside the sanctuary. And on the second day thou shalt offer a kid of goats without blemish for a sin offering. And they shall cleanse the altar as they did cleanse it with the bullock. When thou hast made an end of cleansing it, thou shalt offer a young bullock without blemish, a ram out of the flock without blemish. And thou shalt offer them before Yah, and the priest shall cast salt upon them, and they shall offer them up for a burnt offering unto Yah. 7 days shalt thou prepare every day a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bullock and a ram out of the flock without blemish. 7 days shall thou purge the altar and purify it, and they shall consecrate themselves. And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day and so forward, or the eighth day and afterwards, the priest shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith Yah Elohim. So this priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, is going to be reconstituted, but the Levitical priesthood, only the Zadok out of the family of Zadok will be able to approach this altar. Ezekiel chapter 44, starting in verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 44, starting in verse 1. Give me a hot second here. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looked toward the east, and it was shut. Then said Yah unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because Yah, the Elohim of Israel, has entered in by it. Therefore, it shall be shut. Yah uses this door. And only Yah can use this door. It is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before Yah. He shall enter in by the way of the porch, not the gate, but by the way of the porch of that gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house. And I looked, and behold, the glory of Yah filled the house of Yah. And I fell upon my face. And Yah said unto me, son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of Yah, and all the laws thereof, and mark well the entering in of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, O you house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, in that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat of the blood. And they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. So in the second temple, what is now spoken of with the Most High saying, what has happened in the past, they brought in people who weren't authorized, strangers, into the temple to do their job. We're going to read this. And you have not kept the charge of my holy things, but you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. Remember what the Most High accused our forefathers of. They're going about to declare their own righteousness. They're doing things that they ought not do. The only ones that were supposed to ever enter into the Holy of Holies were the Aaronic priesthood. Okay, but they brought in strangers, Gentiles, to do it. This is craziness. Verse 7 again. In that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. And you have not kept the charge of my holy things, but you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith Yah Elohim, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. Now we are supposed to be inviting people into the kingdom. We are supposed to be offering them salvation. But there are certain jobs that the Most High has reserved and that he's going to reconstitute strictly for the children of Israel, for the Levitical priesthood and those that are born into that priesthood. But then if you are the descendants of the sons of Zadok, we want to read carefully this, because Nobody gets to treat the Most High any kind of way and get away with it. You got to understand this, okay? Let me continue. Verse 9 again. Thus saith Yah Elohim, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. And the Levites that are gone far away from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Now, listen to this carefully, what we're about to read, okay? Because the Levitical priesthood, even though it's being reconstituted, the Most High has said that they will bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house, gatekeepers, and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them, because they ministered unto them before their idols. So because the priesthood did sacrifices to the people and the gods that they wanted to worship, he said, all right, you're going to still serve those same people, and you're going to take their offerings in my temple to me, because he took their offerings from them for these idols. Okay? Because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith Yah Elohim, and they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near unto me. Y'all going to work the door. You're going to help with the work and doing the sacrifice and stuff, but you can't come near to me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abomination which they have committed. So you don't get to treat the Most High just any way. And especially the closer you get to him, the more severe the punishment. This is my priesthood. You had a job to do, to carry the tabernacle, to set it up, to tear it down, to come into the Holy of Holies. And then when I had you to build the temple, when I allowed Solomon to build the temple, the place where I was going to put my name permanently, then you corrupted yourself. You start worshiping all these other gods in my house. And you start offering sacrifices to all these other gods in my house, to your idols, and to the idols of the people. And you think you're going to get away with that? So, yeah, I'm going to reconstitute you, the Levitical priesthood. And I'm going to allow you to keep the door. And I'm going to allow you to work the flesh market where the sacrifices are made. And you can intermingle with the people, but you can't come near to me. That is rough. That is hard. But the Most High don't play. I hope we can see this and hear this. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all their service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me. And they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith Yah Elohim. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter into the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments. Now, I want us to also hear this, because I tell a lot of preachers this when I showed them this before. You know how you see the man of God in the pulpit and he's preaching hard and he's sweating, sweat dripping from him. He got his handkerchief and he's dabbing his forehead and he's wiping off the sweat. guess what? You can't be in the presence of the Most High like that. Let's read this. And it shall come to pass when they enter into the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. The Most High don't like sweat. It is a bodily emission. And so as his high priest, as a priest that ministers to him, you can't be one that sweats. Can't come into his presence like that. And when they go forth into the outer court or the utter court, which is like the inner court, even into the utter court to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they minister. These garments are holy. You can't wear them outside amongst the people. You can't wear them outside of this chamber. They shall put off their garments wherein they minister. Lay them in the holy chamber. And they shall put on other garments. And they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. That means you're not going to wear these garments around these people. Neither shall they shave their head. Can't shave your head, nor suffer their locks to grow long. Can't have long hair either. They shall only poll their head. That means you're going to keep it trimmed. You know, you can't shave it bald like a Nazarite. Neither can you have long hair like Samson. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Now, even now, when you're doing the work of the Most High, you don't want to be having no buzz, trying to teach or trying to minister. You know, let me get me a glass of wine in my Bible and let's have Bible study. No. The Most High doesn't like that. Neither shall the priests drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away. But they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. So if the woman has been put away, a priest can't just take her to be a wife. She can't be taken, period, if she's been put away by a priest. If she was a widow, not just any widow can a priest take. He can only take the widow of another priest. These are the laws. But see, this didn't change. This is from Torah. He's reinstituting these things. He's reiterating them. But this was all the law given to the Levitical priesthood. And they corrupted it. You can read in the scriptures where a priest took a concubine. He wasn't even married to this woman. Didn't take her as a wife. He still slept with her and went around with her. And then when some men, I think it was the Benjamin, they screwed this woman to death in one night. Literally. And when you go read that story, I mean, it's a sad story for that to happen to anybody. And then what he did with the woman, cut her up into 12 pieces or 11 pieces and sent those pieces to all the other tribes and said, look and see what the Benjamites have done. So he was out of order, they were out of order, and they were just all doing what's right in their own eyes. And the Most High said, no, I'm going to reconstitute all of this. I'm going to set it back the way that I told you to do it. And Messiah is going to rule with a rod of iron. But he says, we have to know this stuff. And we have to know what is clean and what is unclean. Let's keep reading. Neither shall they teach my people. Where would I left off? Okay. Verse 22 again. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. Now, to the brothers and stuff that are into marrying the women of another nation, that automatically disqualifies them for the priesthood, even if they are of the seed of Zadok. If they're a Levite, it disqualifies them. Why? Because he says they have to take a woman of the house of Israel. And they shall teach my people the difference between holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgment. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. So, you know, for the world that thinks that Sunday is the Sabbath, thinks that they can do whatever they want to. You know, they go to church on the Sabbath, and they get out, and they go to the movie theater, they go wash the car, they do all these things that break the Sabbath. He says, no, in the millennial kingdom, you're going to hallow his Sabbath. Okay? You're going to follow his statutes. You're going to do everything according to the law that he set before. He's resetting the sentence. And they shall come at no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or mother or for son or daughter or for brother or for sister that has no husband, they may defile themselves. You know how pastors like to have funerals at their churches? And they bring the dead body into the church where the Most High is supposed to be. If his priesthood can't defile themselves with any dead body, what are we doing today? He says, now this priesthood, the only dead people that they can defile themselves for is who? Father or mother, for son or for daughter, or for brother or for sister that has had no husband. So if she's been married, she's now with that family. If she's got a husband and she died, he can't even go to her funeral. They may defile themselves. Only for these. Anybody else? Hey, you're not coming to have my funeral here. We don't do that. We don't touch dead people. We don't do that stuff. That's left to the elders, not the priesthood. And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon unto him 7 days. So if he goes and goes to a funeral for one of the ones he's allowed to go for, he's unclean for 7 days. He got to come and do the cleansing and cannot touch anything holy, can't do any of his duties for 7 days. In the day that he goeth into the sanctuary, unto the inner court, to minister to the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering. I want us to hear what the Most High is saying. He defiles himself for somebody that he's allowed to defile himself for. But it is still considered to be what? Sin. A transgression. And he has to offer a sin offering. Saith Yah Elohim. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. The Most High said from the very beginning, his priesthood was his possession and is his possession. And they don't have a possession in the land. They won't have a possession in the millennial kingdom in the land that the Most High gives in Israel. He says, I am their possession. What he has built into this temple their dwelling, their houses. There's places made for their housing inside the temple complex. They're not supposed to have any land. He says, I am their possession. Just as he told the Levites before, I am your possession. What the people bring to me, I give to you for your service to be in the temple. Let's continue. They shall eat the meat offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering. Every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all, the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblation, shall be the priest, your love offering, your meal offering, your sin offering, your meat offering, all of the oblations that the people bring. It's for the priesthood. The first fruits of the oil, the wine, everything, their tithe. You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. The priest shall not eat anything that is dead of itself. If it just died by itself, If it got tore by an animal, Got to be killed and drained the right way. The priest shall not eat anything that is dead of itself or torn, whether it be fowl or beast. Ezekiel chapter 45, starting in verse 1. Now remember, the Most High is telling this directly to Ezekiel and then tell the house of Israel. Moreover, when you shall divide by lot the land of inheritance, you shall offer an oblation unto Yah, and a holy portion of the land. The length shall be the length of 5,000 and 20,000 reeds, and the breadth shall be 10,000. This shall be holy in all the borders thereof round about it. So this 25,000 by 10,000 reeds square around the temple complex. Of this there shall be for the sanctuary 500 in length and 25, and there shall be 500 in length and with 500 in breadth, square round about, and 50 cubits round about the suburbs thereof. And of this measure shall thou measure the length of 5,000 and 20,000 and the breadth of 10,000. And it shall be the sanctuary and the most holy place. So this 500 square, and then this 25,000 square around the temple complex, around the altar, is most holy. The holy portion of the land shall be for the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary, which shall come near to minister to Yah. And it shall be a place for their houses and a holy place for the sanctuary. Now, when I went and did a study a while back, I wanted to know really what is the true size of this. And this area that he's really talking about is really an area about the size of New York City. It's an area about the size of New York City. Okay. The holy portion of the land, verse 4 again, the holy portion of the land shall be for the priests and the ministers of the sanctuary, which shall come near to minister unto Yah, and it shall be a place for their houses and a holy place for the sanctuary. And 5,000 and 20,000 length and 10,000 breadth shall also the Levites, the men that the ministers of the house, have for themselves, for a possession for 20 chambers. And you shall appoint the possession of the city 5,000 broad and 5,000 and 20,000 long over against the oblation of the holy portion. It shall be for the whole house of Israel. So he's laying it out, okay? And a portion shall be for the prince on the one side and on the other side of the oblation of the holy portion and the possession of the city. Before the oblation of the holy portion and before the possession of the city. from the west side westward, and from the east side eastward. And the link shall be over against one of the portions, from the west border unto the east border. In the land shall be his possession in Israel. And my princes shall no more oppress my people. Now what the Most High is doing here, he's saying, everybody's going to have their portion. And when that prince has children and he want to promise them some land, he got to promise it out of his own land, his own portion. And we're going to read some of these rules. Because what he doesn't want and what happened to our forefathers were people were just getting greedy. They weren't satisfied with what they had. And they were trying to get, you know, more and more and more. And the Most High says, you're not going to oppress my people anymore. You're not going to take from them anymore. I'm raising up a holy nation. When we read this, okay, let's continue. Okay, verse 8 again. In the land shall be his possession in Israel, and my princes shall no more oppress my people, and the rest of the land shall they give to the house of Israel according to their tribes. So now, here is your portion, King. Here's your portion, Messiah. The rest is to be divided up amongst the 12 tribes, okay? Actually, the 11 tribes. Okay, let's keep going. Actually, the 10 tribes, because Joseph is going to get a double portion. Thus says Yahweh Elohim, let it suffice you. Be satisfied, O princes of Israel. Remove violence and spoil and execute judgment and justice. Take away your exactions from my people. Don't put no taxes on them. Don't exact any other toll from them. Says Yah Elohim, you shall have just balances and a just ephah and a just bath. The ephah and the bath shall be of one measure, that the bath may contain the tenth part of an omer. And the ephah, the tenth part of an omer, and the measure thereof shall be after the omer. The shekel shall be 20 gerer, or gerah, 20 shekels, 25 shekels, 15 shekels, shall be your manah, or your standard. Don't go making up these other standards. This, you're going to use one generalized, one specific standard, and it's going to be of 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, in increments of 20 shekels, 5 and 25, 5 and 20 shekels, or 25 shekels, 15 shekels. This is the oblation that you shall offer. The sixth part of an ephah of an omer of wheat, and you shall give the sixth part of an ephah of an omer of barley. Concerning the ordinances of oil, the bath of oil, you shall offer the tenth part of a bath of oil, or the bath of a cord, which is an omer of 10 baths, where 10 baths are an omer. So everything is based upon this omer. And one lamb out of the flock, out of the 200, and out of the fat pastures of Israel, for a meat offering, and for a burnt offering, for a peace offering, to make reconciliation for them, said Yah Elohim. All the people of the land shall give this oblation for the prince in Israel. So the people, this is what they're supposed to bring him. Don't ask for anything more than this. Don't exact anything more than this from them. Now, these measurements might seem strange to us right now. But, you know, like anything else, the more you use it, the more you get used to it. And you have to understand that he says you shall have just weight. So ain't nobody going to be cheating nobody. He's telling the leaders, don't tax them more than this. This is plenty for you as the prince. So it's a standard. Let's continue. And it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feast and in the new moons. He's going to give these burnt offerings and these meat offerings and drink offerings out of what the people give him in the feast and in the new moons and in the Sabbath, in all solemnity of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. Thus saith Yah Elohim, in the first month, in the first day of the month, first of Nisan, first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. So he's telling them exactly when to clean the sanctuary, when to rededicate it. And the priest shall take up the blood of the sin offering and put it upon the post of the house, upon the four corners of the settle of the altar, and upon the post of the gate of the inner court. Now we know this is not concerning the second temple, because they didn't do this in the second temple. The Day of Atonement was the day that the priest went and sanctified himself and sanctified the altar and sanctified the people. The Day of Atonement. That's in the 10th month. No, the 7th month. So we got to understand that this is not, you can, now we're going to do this on the 1st of Nisan every year. And the priest shall take the blood of the sin offering and put it upon the post of the house and upon the four corners of the settle of the altar and upon the post of the gate of the inner court. And so thou shalt do the 7th day of the month for everyone that errs and for him that is simple. So shall you reconcile the house. Now, you know, those that are simple are those people who don't really have all of their mental faculties. They still do some things, and the Most High says, yeah, they got to be accounted for too. In the first month, in the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover. That doesn't change. A feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten. Now, he says that in the future, when we celebrate the Passover, it won't be because he brought us out of Egypt. That's not the Passover we're going to remember. He says, you're going to have a Passover. And you're going to remember because I gathered you out of all the nations. And that's what you're going to keep for Passover. But we can read that in another place. And upon that day shall the prince prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering. And 7 days of the feast he shall prepare a burnt offering to Yah. 7 bullocks and 7 rams without blemish daily, the 7 days. And a kid of the goats daily for a sin offering. And he shall prepare meat offering of an ephah for a bullock, and an ephah for a ram, and a hin of oil for an ephah. In the 7th month, in the 15th day of the month, shall you do like in the feast of the 7 days, according to the sin offering, according to the burnt offerings, and according to the meat offerings, according to the oil. Ezekiel chapter 46. Thus saith Yah Elohim, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut 6 working days in this temple. But on the Sabbath it shall be open. And in the day of the new moon it shall be open. Now he told them earlier, don't open this door. It shall be shut. But on the Sabbath, and in the new moons, the Most High comes through that door. Okay? And the prince shall enter in by the way of the porch of that gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate. And the priest shall prepare his burnt offerings and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then shall he go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before Yah. Yah is come there. And the people come to this gate And so worse, and at the door of the gate before Yah in the Sabbath and the new moon. See, you know, Yah is good because, as I said, when he told me to start keeping this new moon feast, because, you know, a lot of camps, the churches don't do it, and a lot of camps don't do it. It's like this new moon, it's too much. It's too much. That's the way that I get it from people. It's like it's too much. But this is a holy day that Yah has called that we should keep. Not just the weekly Sabbath, but it's my new moon. These are special to Yah. And the burnt offerings that the prince shall offer unto Yah in the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish. And the meat offering shall be an ephah for a ram and the meat offering for the lamb, as he shall be able to give, and a hind of oil to an ephah. And in the day of the new moon it shall be a young bullock without blemish, 6 lambs and a ram. They shall be without blemish. The new moon sacrifice, 6 lambs. There'll be a bullock and 6 lambs and a ram shall be without blemish. This is a high holy day to the Most High, the new moon. And he shall prepare a meat offering, an ephah for a bullock and an ephah for a ram, and for the lambs according as his hand shall obtain unto, and a hind of oil to an ephah. And when the prince shall enter, he shall go in by the way of the porch of that gate, and he shall go forth by the way thereof. So he comes in that way by the porch of the gate, and he leaves by the porch of the gate, but he don't go through that gate. But when the people of the land shall come before Yah in the solemn feast, like Pentecost, Passover, Tabernacles, he that enters in by the way of the north gate to worship. Now the east gate, that's for the Most High. And the people come and they worship him at the east gate. But if they want to come through the temple sanctuary, they got to come in through the north gate and leave through the south. And those that are coming from the south come in the south gate and leave through the north. Let's read this. But when the people of the land shall come before Yah in the solemn feast, he that enters in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out the way of the south gate. And he that enters in by the way of the south gate shall go by forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it. So you came in this way, you go out against that door over there, straight ahead. And the prince in the midst of them, when they go in, shall go in, and when they go forth, shall go forth. The prince in the midst of them is the prince of whatever that tribe or that people is coming through. And in the feast and in the solemnities, the meat offering shall be an ephah to a bullock and an ephah to a ram, and to the lambs he is able, and to the lambs as he is able to give that prince. Because the prince is the prince who are over those different people, the ones who are in charge, they're the ones that give the sacrifice. And he says, now, if you are not that big a prince and you can't afford all that I have asked for, as you can what? Afford it. As he is able to give. And his hind of oil to an ephah. Now, when the prince shall prepare a voluntary burnt offering or a peace offering voluntarily unto Yah, one shall then open him the gate that looketh toward the east. The other offerings that they're bringing typically are sin offerings. But this is a voluntary peace offering. I want to make this directly to Yah. They open up the east gate. And he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offering, as he did on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go forth. And after he is going forth, one shall shut the gate. Thou shalt daily prepare a burnt offering unto Yah of a lamb of the first year without blemish. Thou shalt prepare it every morning. Thou shalt prepare a meat offering for it every morning, the sixth part of an ephah and the third part of a hin of oil, to temper with the fine flour, a meat offering continually by a perpetual ordinance of Yah. This is going to happen forever. Perpetual. Thus shall they prepare the lamb and the meat offering, and the oil every morning for a continual burnt offering. Thus saith Yah Elohim, if the prince give a gift unto any of his sons, the inheritance thereof shall be his sons. It shall be their possession by inheritance. So if the prince gives his son a third part of the land, he says that belongs to that son, it's their inheritance. But if he gives a gift of his inheritance to one of his servants, then it shall be his to the year of liberty, the year of relief, every 50 years. So that gift would belong to that servant up until the year of liberty, the year of relief. Then he got to go back to the family. But he shall give his sons, let's see. Where did I leave off at? Yeah, let me 17. But if he give a gift of his inheritance to one of his servants, then it shall be his to the year of liberty. After, it shall return to the prince, but his inheritance shall be his son for them. So he can't give this away, even to any of his servants. Now, there's going to be servants in the kingdom. Okay. Moreover, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance by oppression to thrust them out of their possession, but he shall give his son's inheritance out of his own possession, that my people be not scattered, every man from his possession. What I have promised you is yours. If you sell it, in the year of release, it got to come back to you. See, right now, you have land, you sell it, it's gone. But in Israel, amongst the children of Israel, this is not supposed to be so. So he's setting down the law. Prince, if you give your children, this going to even apply to any family that have their possessions. Okay? And he brought me through the entry, which was at the side of the gate, into the holy chambers of the priests, which looked toward the north. And behold, there was a place on two sides westward. Then said he unto me, this is the place where the priests shall boil the trespass offerings and the sin offerings, where they shall bake the meat offerings, that they bear them not out into the utter court to sanctify the people. These offerings are not supposed to go back out among the people. Okay? Then he brought me forth into the utter court and caused me to pass by the four corners of the court, and behold, in every corner of the court, there was a court. So you're in a courtyard that has sub-courts in it. In the four corners of the court, there were courts, joined by 40 cubits long and 30 broad. These four corners were for one measure, and there was a row of buildings round about them four, and it was made with a boiling place under the rows round about. Then said he unto me, these are the places of them that boil, where the ministers of the house shall boil the sacrifice of the people. Now, we know that this is the Levitical priesthood, because he said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to take the people, you're going to be able to handle their sacrifice, you're going to deal with the people, keep the doors, but you're not going to minister unto me. So this is the Levitical priesthood, all the other families of the Levitical priesthood, except for the sons of Levi. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 47. Verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued forth from under the threshold of the house eastward. And this is a beautiful, when I read this, it's so beautiful. What he's about to describe, okay? But I also want us to pick up on that the people will be fishing. And why are they fishing? They're not all death is not everything, because we're killing animals still. The people are still eating, okay? In Messiah's kingdom. The things that we're looking for, where the lion and the lamb shall lie down together, that's after this thousand-year reign. Let's keep going. Afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. So there's waters coming from under the altar, where the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without, under the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters unto the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, the waters were to the loins. Afterwards he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river, the edge of it. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Now we read about this in Revelation, these trees, but we're thinking that they're during or after the thousand-year reign. These trees are coming up during the millennial reign. Okay? From on the sides of this water flowing from the altar. Now, when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. Now, well, let's read this, and then I'm going to explain something of what he's saying here. Which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. We can't do anything with salt water. Okay? Now, they're learning how to desalinate and stuff like that. But what the Most High says, these waters coming from under the throne, when they go into the sea, they're going to turn the sea into fresh water. Let's continue. And the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whether the river come. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Engalim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kind, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. So the water is going to heal, the fish are going to multiply, and the fishing is just going to be great. It's going to be exceeding, you know, whatever they throw in, the net's going to always be full. Okay? But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. So the salt is going to be deposited into the marshes. But everywhere where this water goes, it's going to heal it, and then the salt is going to be moved out and pushed into the marshes. And then the marshes won't be healed. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and upon that side, shall grow all trees for meat, for food, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. These trees are going to always be producing. It is going to produce. You can take it off. It's for meat. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his month, because these waters they issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat. and the meat thereof for medicine. So out of the third temple, out of the altar, comes this flowing water that turns into a river. And everywhere that this water goes, it heals whatever it touches. And whatever it touches lives. It says, now where the water's shallow on the banks, these trees are going to come up, and these trees are going to have fruit that don't ever stop growing on them. You come and pick it, more growth. And not only that, a different type of fruit grows on the same tree every month. The same tree is producing different fruit. Let's continue. Thus saith Yah Elohim, this shall be the border whereby you shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions for Esau and Manasseh. And you shall inherit one as well as another, concerning the which I lift up my hand to give it to your fathers, unto your fathers. And this land shall be unto you for an inheritance. And this shall be the border of the land toward the north side, from the great sea, the way of Hethlon, as the men go to Zedad, Hamath, Barath, Sibarim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazar Hitzekon, which is by the coast of Haran. The border from the sea shall be Hazar Anan, the border of Damascus, and the northern border, and the border of Hamath, and this is the north side. And the east side you shall measure from Haran, from Damascus, and from Gilead, and from the land of Israel by Jordan, from the border unto the east sea, and this is the east side, and the south side southward, from Tamar even unto the waters of Strife in Kadesh, the river to the great sea, and this is the south side southward. And the west side also shall be of the great sea from the border till a man cometh over against Hamath. This is the west side. So shall you divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that you shall divide it by the lot for an inheritance unto you. And to the stranger that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. So we're not going to be allowed to treat the stranger who is born among us, who's keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. They are to be as one in the land, just as he intended from in the wilderness. The stranger who joins himself to you, who are born in the land, they are to have an inheritance amongst the tribes. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall you give him his inheritance, says Yah Elohim. So you have people who want to join Israel, who want to worship the Most High and serve him, who want to live in the land. He says, and it shall come to pass in what tribe the stranger sojourneth. You shall give him his inheritance. A lot of our people don't want to hear that. A lot of our people want them to be licking our feet and being servants and doing all this other kind of stuff. But we can't be unrighteous with them like they were with us. They have a place. The Most High says, give it to them out of your inheritance. I hope we can hear this, okay? We are going to stop here for this evening. We want us to understand that as we start to dig deeper into this and looking, fleshing out the details, I pray that you take notes. The Most High, I'm very sure, has other revelations for us. This is a quick overview and not even a complete overview. He has told us what he wants us to do. He has told us that tell this to the house of Israel. When we go back and read, you're going to read where he says, we are supposed to learn this and teach it to our children. When he returns, if we truly are the children of Israel, we are supposed to know this. Know the inward workings of the temple, of the tabernacle. Know whose job is what. Commit to memory where these different places are in the temple. This is going to be such a beautiful temple when we read the entire description of it, with the palm trees and the cherubims on the columns and things like that, with the not like a museum. I got to go back and look at this word that it uses, but it's almost like a museum where people come and they are just looking at the art or the Most High, probably the Most High is what I'm going to be saying, that they are places, galleries is what it calls them, the gallery, okay? This is a beautiful temple. You walk upstairs to it, to come into it, into the outer court. You walk upstairs to the gate. You walk downstairs into the temple complex. Then there's like, you know, flat land all around that, and it's built up, and then you walk up two stairs to part of the main house. And then in part of the main house, then you got to go up into a spiral staircase where the priests live at. And then on the outside of that courtyard, you see where they do the boiling, and they do all this other stuff. So we have to commit this stuff to memory, because he says that we have to know it. Okay? So we will be studying this millennial temple for a while. You know, we'll take one day in a month or one day every 2 weeks. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I know that the Most High wants us to know it. He wants us to understand. He wants us to go back and pick up the cleanliness law, that we may know the clean from the unclean, the holy from the unholy. That we might keep these things even in our relationships. Because this is what's going to come back around. And so if we make it into the first resurrection, then this is what he's going to reinstitute. Now, you're going to be, think about this. He raises you during the first resurrection. You are eternal. But everybody in the kingdom in the 1,000 years is not eternal. And so during this 1,000-year reign, all the nations are required to come to this temple. Every new moon and every Sabbath. So he wants us to be ready for this. He wants a generation of people that know what thus saith God Elohim concerning these things. You got to know about what type of relationships he will accept. We got to know that we have to be a holy people. We have to be a clean people. We have to be teaching the next generation these things. If Yah doesn't come back in our lifetime, we can't say, oh, this is the last generation, and we don't try to pass it on to the next. Because if he comes back, fine. But if he don't come back and we didn't pass it on, we would have failed in what he wants. Teach this to the children of Israel. And even to the stranger. They have to understand that some of the things that they are being taught is not true. And those of us in Israel that are being hateful, you know, Like, we don't, hey, we don't want the Gentiles to make it in. See how they treated us? They got to stop that stuff. Because Messiah says everybody in the kingdom must be righteous. But then there's still, we see there's still going to be some sin. There's still some sin sacrifice. And this will probably, like I said, take a lot of people by shock. Something that we've not been taught this. But after that 1,000 years is up, then all the things that you have heard and been taught concerning what they call the Father's kingdom, but after it's still the same kingdom. But he's given one day for man to get it right, for the world to get it right. But we, you know, when we go to Revelations, we see that at the end of the 1,000 years, the vast majority of the world being up under the Most High's rulership, they rebel. Up under Messiah's rulership, rebel. Being up under his rulership. And then he just devours them. Fire comes down out of heaven and devours them. Then we have the judgment. So I pray that we can hear the word of the Most High. I pray that we don't get all twisted because I know we have been taught some things and we've not been taught this. Some of us may have, most of us have not been taught this, the 1,000-year reign of Messiah, the millennial temple. So he says that we have to know this, and we want to be faithful to the Most High. We don't want to say we hear it, but that ain't for us. Because if we were in the church, we'd be like, that's for them. That's for them Jews. That ain't for us. But we are those Jews. We are the people of the book. Now, let me speak for myself. I know that I am. Okay? And so I know I have to do this. If you say you are Israel, if you say you want to be a part of Israel, you got to do it too. Whether you are the stranger or you Israel of the flesh. And just for the strangers, understand, he says, no uncircumcised stranger in heart or in flesh. Because you got some Gentiles that don't want to be circumcised. Don't feel like they got to do that. They can get into the kingdom, but they can't come and be part of Israel. They can't come and take part of this temple. Can't enter into it. That's why when I teach the lessons of circumcised versus uncircumcision and what the circumcision stands for, it gives the circumcision is the covenant that was given to Abraham. Everywhere you walk, that land is going to belong to your descendants. But the Most High accused Israel of bringing the strangers into the temple and profaning the temple. So everybody has to know their place, and we can't be, you know, we can't be mad and upset about it. Truth is truth. And so, thus saith Yah Elohim. We have to go by what he said. Now, when he's ready to do away with all this and he creates a new heaven and a new earth, then he says it's going to be all nations being his priesthood, being a part of his priesthood and serving him in his temple, and not during the millennial reign. A different time period. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word. We thank you for clarity. We thank you for even giving us the opportunity that we might come and we might serve you, that we might learn of your ways, that we might understand your timeline. Father, we don't know the exact date that you're coming back, and you have even told us, don't even look for that day. Don't wish for it. Don't pray for it, because it's going to be so terrible. But when you come back and establish your kingdom, Father, you have said that you will reconstitute your Levitical priesthood. And that they shall not come and do service unto you. They shall take care of the temple, and they shall serve the people and help with the sacrifices. But the sons of Zadok, they shall come close to you. Father, we just want to worship you in spirit and in truth. We want to honor you. We want to serve you the way that you want to be served. Give us clarity, Father. Help us to understand. Give us the will to even know whether we be male or female. We need to know your expectations. Father, bless each and every person who is listening tonight. Give them the desire, the will, to do what you have asked. And Father, we just want to show that how much we love you and that we will keep your commandments. As we learn and we know to do, we will do. It is only the right thing to do. You have said, if we do anything in ignorance, you will forgive us. Father, we know that we don't know of your temple, and we don't know of your ways concerning your temple, and that we need to study these things out and to flesh them out. And we are ignorant, Father. Forgive us our ignorance. Help us to achieve what it is that you have declared that we ought to do as your people. All that are willing, Father, give us the spirit of knowledge. Give us the spirit of strength. Give us the will to complete the task. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. On tomorrow morning, in spiritual wealth, we should be looking at our roots. This actually lines up with going back and pulling out the roots of our people. What the Most High told us when he brought us into the wilderness. What he told us when we went into the promised land. What he told us how we should behave. We have to pick this back up as a people because, wait a minute, before we went into the wilderness, before we went into the promised land, these are my statutes, my laws, my commandments. We just read going into the millennial kingdom, everything that wasn't kept, he's just reconstituting it. So we might as well get it right now, thinking that we're living because of the time that we live in, that something has changed. The word of Yah does not change. So we have to go back and pick up these things. We're not going back to the west coast of Africa and picking up the customs that we had there. We're going all the way back to the wilderness and when we came into the promised land and the things that the Most High gave to us then. Those are the things that he's reinstituting. So it goes right back to our healing. Right back to our healing. And if you want to keep that Western mindset and the capitalistic mindset Those are not the mindsets of the Most High. Those are the Western mindset and the capitalistic mindset, which are contrary to the Most High. We have to go back and get our own history. Go back and get our own way. And not the ways of our fathers, but the ways of the Most High. Not the ways of our forefathers, because they corrupted themselves. We don't want to start creating traditions, because by our traditions, we may transgress the law of the Most High, thinking we're doing a good, like our forefathers did when he says, hey, they think they know better than I do. We won't cast off the stranger, because under our law, up under the law of Moses, up under the Levitical law, which the Most High has not done away with, those that wanted to come close to the Most High, those that wanted to sojourn among us and be as one of us, he gives us what the requirements are. Even in the millennial kingdom, he says they shall have a possession in the land. And whatever tribe that they dwell in, that they sojourn in, that tribe has to give them their possession. So we don't want to try to be ugly. We don't want to try to be mean. We don't want to try to be separatist. So what we should be separating ourselves from is evil. That's what the Most High looks at. Are you good or are you evil? That's how we need to separate ourselves. If somebody loves to practice evil and they rejoice in practicing evil, no, you can't be around us. You have chosen who you want to serve. But if you want to serve the living Elohim, you want to keep his statutes, laws, and his commandments, if you're males, if you want to come close, then you've got to be circumcised. That's to be a member of the nation of Israel. It's not a option. Now, if you don't want to be a member of the nation of Israel, you want to make it into the kingdom of heaven, you can stay uncircumcised. But you can't come close to the Passover. You can't come close to any of those things that are holy. We are supposed to be operating as citizens of the kingdom by those rules. They're not the rules we make up. These are the rules made up by the Most High Elohim. And this is why a lot of the nations were angry at us. This is why a lot of the nations wanted to put us in perpetual slavery. You got to understand who you are and be willing to walk in it. Each and every one of us. With that being said, I pray to see you all tomorrow morning for spiritual wellness as we start to dig back into our history as a people. We really want to start writing down some things that are required of both men and women, culturally. Because you can't say that you're the people and then you want to have your own culture. You believe in the culture that you grew up in the land of your captivity. Oh, I'm a Western Jew. What is that? Oh, no, I'm a Southern Jew. What is that? Oh, I'm a European Jew. What is that? We are supposed to be of one mind, one spirit, no matter where we are at. Supposed to have one culture. It's not the Jews over here do it this way. The Jews over here do it that way. The Hebrews over here do it this way. The Hebrews over there do it that way. No. No. There's only one way, and that's the way of the Most High. We need to take men out of it. So I pray we can hear this, because this is to our healing. Go back and Look at our reach. How did, where did our forefathers go wrong? What do we need to pick up? What do we need to let go of? What are we going to make a part of our life? If you're not willing to live it, you might as well leave it. Might as well not even claim that you're it. Might as well not even claim to be the children of the Most High. If not willing to live by the rules of his kingdom. This is what our forefathers did. We're the people of the book, but we want to be like the other nations. We want to serve their God. We want to do like they do. Or we like the festivals of Baal. We like his celebration because we get to have sex at the same time. I mean, it's crazy when we read about this stuff and think that our forefathers, you know, this is what they gravitated to. This is what they held on to. But the Most High says, when the coming kingdom comes, that ain't going to be that way. So we got to also look at what Messiah says concerning his kingdom, his rule, that millennial rule. And I will rule the nations with a rod of iron. And all of us that get to rule with him, think we can rule differently? We can't. If he rules with a rod of iron and he puts us in position of authority, we must rule with a rod of iron. So we can't make this thing up as we go. We can't be contrary to him. We can't teach contrary to him. And if we are like Abraham, I have to say this, because, you know, a lot of us are in that microwave age where we want immediate gratification. We want immediate results. We can't commit to anything long term. If we don't see something in a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a couple of years, we done. We going back into the world. We going back into what we came out of. That is not what this is going to take. So you either all in for the rest of your life or you might as well not even come in. It's just that simple. It has to be a way of life. You have to know what you're working toward, what you're committing to. I pray, I really do pray that we can hear this, each and every one of us. If you love this life, stay in this life. That's what I'm going to say to you. If you love the life that the Most High wants for you, then you need to commit to that life 100%. With all your whole heart, your whole mind, your all your substance. That's what he tells us. Can't be halfway in the world, three-quarters of the way in the world, one-quarter of the way in the world, 10% in the world. You exist in this world, but you are not supposed to be of this world. In it, but not of it. When are we going to start doing that? When are we going to actually walk by faith? Because the Most High said, Israel had none. So I must say it to you as the Most High said it to me. Step into your faith. You either trust me or you don't. There's no two ways about it. I pray each and every one of us. I pray our strength in the Most High. May the Most High encamp his angels around. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. Each and every one of you. But Yah loves you way more. Don't commit to Brother Miles. Commit to the Most High. Commit to the Most High. I love you. Step into this walk and serve. serve him. I'm not going to say serve as though you're serving him. You ought to be serving him. Commit to his vision and his commandments, his statutes, and what he has said that he wants. Pour yourself into it. Live for Yah Elohim. Not for this current world, because when you die, you're going to be judged off of the things that you did in this life. And if we don't do what it is that he told us to do, that he's telling us to do, then we're going to be judged on that. And we don't want to come up lacking. We don't want to come up wanting. So I pray we hear what the Spirit has to say. With that being said, family, peace and blessings to each and every one of you. I pray to see you in the morning. Shalom.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away.